Once upon a time, on a quiet winter night, a baby boy was born who would offer the world an escape from darkness. This baby boy would change the course of human history, ushering in light to the nations. His arrival did not end the night all at once, but he changed what people believed was possible in the dark. His was a new reality beaming with potential. And this new reality would reorder how we live and move and dream. This baby boy was Thomas Edison. Perhaps not the baby you thought of, hopefully, but think about it. I acknowledge for the historians in the room that Edison did not invent the first light bulb, but his inventions made electrical lighting durable and accessible. His innovations really did usher in artificial light to the nations, and that really did change the course of human history. For most of history, light was something you had to wait for. It arrived and departed on its own terms. You oriented your life around its rhythms. For the most part, when the sun set, you accepted the limits of the dark and settled into rest. And at dawn, the light slowly returned, unfolding into a new day. The rhythm of light and darkness is embedded in the fabric of creation, a gift of the Creator that sustains life. Thomas Edison's inventions changed all of that. Humanity can now defy the limits of the dark. With light at our fingertips, we no longer have to wait for the sun to rise. We no longer have to stop our productivity when the sun goes down. We simply flip a switch and there is light. We are no longer bound by the rhythms of the created order. Edison's inventions paved the way for the world that is now flooded with artificial light. Streetlights that turn night into day, screens that glow in our pockets, buildings that never truly go dark. We live surrounded by more light than any generation before us. And while much of that light has brought real good, it has not come without cost. Our bodies struggle to rest. Our sleep is fractured. Our mental health suffers. Our attention constantly pulled in every direction. Light pollution even disrupts the health of the animal world, confusing migration patterns and feeding cycles and the natural rhythms that sustain life. Our mastery of light has outpaced our understanding of what life actually needs. God's wisdom has always known the value of both light and dark. And that's precisely why the church gives us Advent, a season that does not rush the darkness, but teaches us how to wait for light. And yet, I can't help but wonder how our modern relationship with light has distorted our expectations of what exactly we are waiting for. What if our obsession with artificial light has done more than just extend our days? What if it has quietly reshaped our imaginations, our souls, and even our longings? So as we reach the final days of Advent, after weeks of waiting and watching, it's worth asking a simple but searching question. What kind of light have we been waiting for? In the story of Joseph, which we hear today from Matthew's gospel, invites us to sit with that question, because the light he gets may not be the light we've come to expect. Joseph is never really a central character in this season. Mary tends to take center stage. And Joseph's just the man standing slightly behind her in the nativity scenes, holding a staff, watching over mother and child. Joseph never even speaks a single word in Scripture. But his story holds so much truth for us today. Matthew tells us that Joseph is a righteous man, a faithful Jew who patterned his life by the Torah, the Psalms, and the promises God had made to his people. Joseph, too, had been waiting for the coming Messiah, but he had a stable, good life with a promising future. He was betrothed to Mary, legally bound to her in covenant, but still waiting for the marriage feast. But then all of his plans collapse. Mary is pregnant, and the child is not his. For Joseph, this had to be devastating. Everything he thought was certain had crumbled. Joseph suddenly finds himself in the disorienting darkness of a life that's fallen apart. But in that darkness, Joseph is forced to choose between a handful of painful options. He could expose Mary publicly and seek justice. The law allowed for that. But that would bring shame, humiliation, and likely violence upon her. And I like to imagine that Joseph loved Mary enough that he simply could not bear that. He could take Mary as his wife and pretend the child was his own, but that would mean surrendering his integrity as a righteous man and living inside a lie that would follow them for the rest of their lives. So Joseph chooses the only path that seems to hold both righteousness and mercy together. He chooses to dismiss her quietly. And that's a compassionate choice, but not an easy one. A quiet dismissal might avoid public spectacle, but it would not erase suspicion or rumor in a small village. No matter what he chooses, the future he's imagined is no longer possible. So I imagine Joseph laying restlessly in the dark, contemplating his life that no longer makes sense, playing the options through in his head over and over until finally he falls asleep. And an angel of the Lord appears to Joseph in a dream and tells him not to be afraid to take Mary as his wife, for the child conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. He's told to name the child Jesus because he will save his people from their sins. And then Matthew tells us all of this takes place to fulfill the words spoken through the prophet Isaiah. They shall call him Emmanuel, which means God with us. Now, this may have been an interruption to Joseph's story, but it's not an interruption to God's story, right? Matthew goes all the way back to Isaiah to show us that what is happening to Joseph is part of the long-awaited plan of salvation. This is a moment of light, because in Scripture, light names the presence of God. Light is synonymous with the divine presence. God's glory appears as fire, filling the tabernacle and later the temple. Light was the visible sign that God was present with his people. So when that presence was lost or obscured through exile and sin, there was darkness, and Israel longed for God to draw near again. Generations had waited for what the prophets promised, the light of God's presence coming back to dwell with his people. And here, in the dark of a dream, Joseph receives that promise again. Emmanuel, God with us. What God asks of Joseph is not small. We have hindsight all these years removed. But this single act of obedience would reorder his entire life. His faithfulness would be misunderstood. There would be rumors about him. He had to release the future he had imagined and stake his name, his work, and his social standing on a promise he got in a dream, a promise he could not prove. And yet for Joseph, this was a fulfillment of what he'd been waiting for. The hope he had carried all of his life, the longing for God's glorious presence, was now unfolding before him and through him. So Joseph wakes from his dream and does what the angel asks him. He takes Mary as his wife and steps fully into a life that he did not plan for, trusting that the presence of God was enough to light his way. He walks with Mary through a risky pregnancy and birth. He shoulders responsibility for a child he did not conceive. He protects and guides his family, shielding the true light like a fragile flame. He works, provides, teaches, and loves a son who would never call him father. Joseph's life is marked by ordinary and unseen faithfulness. There's no recognition, no spectacle. And according to tradition, Joseph dies before Jesus' public ministry ever begins. He never got to see the promise he heard in the night fulfilled. Joseph's life, in many ways, is an Advent life. It's shaped by waiting, by partial light, by promises not yet fulfilled. He lives between what God has spoken and what he can see with his own eyes. And we have to notice that God never gives Joseph a timeline or an explanation of why it had to be this way. He only gives him the assurance, "Do not be afraid." Just enough light for Joseph to take his next step and no more. And I always wonder if Joseph longed for more certainty. I wonder if he ever looked over at Mary and wondered if this was all just a big, weird lie. I wonder if he longed for a flip that he could switch that would answer all of his questions and make the waiting worth it. Joseph's story should unsettle us. In our world with artificial light, this is not the kind of light we often long for. We want light that's bright enough to show us the whole path, that makes sense of all the darkness we've had to endure. We want light that is bright, that we can summon instantly to fix the darkness of our lives. We want light that caters to our preferences and bends to our control. And although we know this is not the promise of Christmas, I wonder if the allure of artificial light has formed us more deeply than we realize. I'll tell an embarrassing story. About 10 years ago, we bought a pre-lit Christmas tree from Bargain Hunt. It came with a remote control shaped like a Christmas tree, programmed with about 158 light settings. No exaggeration. You can choose twinkling lights, still lights, white lights, colored lights. You can even synchronize a light show to music. But this year, my favorite tree is finally giving out. It started with one bulb that refused to stay white, and then another, and then another, and now the tree is about 60% beautiful white light and 40% glitchy rainbow. And I found myself getting irrationally angry, pounding the remote, trying to force the lights to bend to my will. Just work. And this story was actually the impetus for this sermon, because in that moment, I had to confess just how far my modern expectations for Christmas have drifted from the real thing. I wanted a Thomas Edison Christmas, a Christmas I could control, a Christmas full of pretty, polished, pristine light. But that's not the light we've been waiting for. I know that all of this is so obvious for us. We know the obnoxious spectacle that our culture calls Christmas is not the real thing. We know that Christmas is all about Emmanuel, God with us. And yet, we must acknowledge how the allure of artificial light has formed us as modern people. Light that promises clarity, control, and convenience is not the light that will bring life. So as we step out of Advent and into Christmas, we don't need more light. We just need to receive the light that already comes to us. That means that Christmas will not be perfect. The darkness we wrestled with in Advent will still be there on Thursday morning. Kids will fight. Family tensions will rear their ugly head. There will be empty seats at the dinner table, painful reminders of all we've lost. Quiet grief will lay under the surface of our celebration. And yet this is precisely where Christmas meets us, when our lives have crumbled, not by erasing the darkness, but by entering into it to be with us. It is in the middle of our imperfect lives that the light we've been waiting for finds us. Emmanuel, God with us. God with us. Almighty Father, we thank you for the promise that you have come to be with us in our darkness, in our ordinary lives, in all that is yet to be resolved. We pray that your divine presence would strip us of all that is artificial. Help us to open our hands, relinquish control, and accept the light of your presence. In your Son's name we pray. Amen.